Okay, well, it's Monday, it's November 24th, and we're at study night, and we are studying Diligently Seeking God, this session number 11. And I'd like to go back to Hebrews 11, verse 6, our theme verse to start out with, and I wanted to see if everybody can quote it from memory. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay, very good. Now, we have been looking at these examples that surround this verse. We looked at Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham. And the next one it mentions here is Isaac. We saw Isaac when Abraham offered him as a burnt offering. But verse 20 of Hebrews 11 says, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." Now, there's been a lot said about this incident where Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. I've heard a lot of judgments against Jacob regarding this, that he was the deceiver and people judging him for his actions here. What I'd like to do is read the incident in Genesis. It's in Genesis 27. But before we get to Genesis 27, I want to look at a little bit more of the significant events leading up to that, okay? But in the meantime, we do want to make note that it says that it was by faith or by believing that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. It was by faith. That means when Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, he did it by believing. He blessed them with the words that God gave him. Okay? And that's important to remember through all this. And I think this is a good lesson in actually withholding judgment. Withholding judgment, because God has made us to be witnesses of his word, right? Mm-hmm. Not to be judges. So we're warned against judging people, and we're warned specifically against judging things before the time, judging things with limited information. So judging is something that we want to be very careful about, and better off not judging at all. We do want to separate truth from error. We want to rightly divide the word of God, but when it comes to judging people, whether they're good or evil or whatever, it's better to leave that to God. Now, Genesis 24 is where I'd like to start reading, because this incident with Isaac and Jacob and Esau, Rebekah, the wife of Isaac, is the one that was behind it. So we want to find out what the word says about Rebekah. And we'll find out a lot about her in chapter 24 here. This happens when Abraham is old and well stricken in age, it says in verse 1. So Genesis 24, 1, Abraham was old and well stricken in age. Now, the word well stricken just means to come or to go, okay? It sounds like he was afflicted with age when you read well stricken. That's how the King James translators chose to translate this, but some of the other ones, like the Brenton, he was advanced in days. That would be a more accurate translation. The LITV, going on in days. The YLT, have entered into days. So a lot of them say advanced in days or advanced in years, and that would be a more accurate way of doing it, because Abraham at this point in his life was 140 years old. And he's going to live to 175. So he still has 35 more years to go here. Okay? So in my study notes, I have documented all the verses that have to do with the years of his life, but I don't want to take a whole lot of time to get into that. But if you go back to this, when I have it posted on the website, you want to look at the study notes. I have all the verses that tell how old Abraham was when Isaac was born, the fact that Isaac is 40 years old at this point, 60 years old when he has the twins, Jacob and Esau, even tells you how old Sarah is when she dies, She lives to be 127 years old. So at this point, she has been dead for 3 years. Okay? You can read about the death of Sarah in chapter 23. But verse 2 says, Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And there's a reason for that. But this eldest servant, we know from chapter 15 that the steward of his house at that time was Eliezer of Damascus, right? That was about 60 years before this incident here. So I don't know if Eliezer of Damascus is still the steward of the house, because this person here, this servant of Abraham, he's not named in this chapter. In fact, he only identifies himself as Abraham's servant. When he introduces himself to other people, he doesn't give his own name. He says, I'm Abraham's servant. That was his identity. That was what his life was all about. And he ruled over all that Abraham had. He was in charge of all his property, all his animals, all of his servants. He was responsible to make sure everything went well. And he told the servant to put his hand under his thigh. And the reason for that is in verse 3, that I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. So putting the hand under the thigh of a person to swear must have been a custom in the East at the time, and I believe it still is to this day in some places. Now, what he is making him swear to do is to not take a wife for Isaac from the daughters of the Canaanites. But, verse 4, thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Say, if she's not willing to come here, should I bring Isaac there? And in verse 6, Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. It seems like he's speaking by revelation here. Otherwise, how would he know that God would send an angel before him unless God had told him to do this? And this is a very significant thing, and God is in this. Verse 8, and if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. It would be very likely that he would not return back to where he's supposed to be. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. He was responsible for all of it, so he could use whatever resources he had to get the job done, because he's doing it on behalf of his master Abraham. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And Nahor was Abraham's brother, and I believe Nahor had fallen asleep at this point. But among Nahor's children, there would be cousins of Isaac, like maybe second cousins or so. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. So Abraham sent him to complete this very important task, and the servant prays to the Lord God of his master Abraham. He asked Abraham's God, which would also be his God, to help him with this. You know, he didn't have a cell phone to call Abraham if he had a question, but he had God that he could talk to and make this request. So he makes this request. And here's what he asked God to do for him. In verse 13, he said, behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also, let the same be she that thou hast appointed or approved for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So a very specific request. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, which was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. So this is not according to the observation of Abraham's servant. This is God telling the narrator of this that these things were true, that she was very fair, very beautiful to look upon. She was a virgin, and no man had known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Just like the servant had prayed to God. If it's the right one, have her say this, to go beyond what I ask her and to offer to give water to my camels. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, or to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So he's not celebrating too soon because he sees the sign, you might say, this indicator, but he's still watching, has his ears open to God, has his eyes upon the situation to see, is this really the one? And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. And he said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said, moreover, unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Got him right to the right family. And this young lady is going to wind up being the one. And he's starting to realize that, yes, this is the one, but still has to be verified and agreed to, okay? And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban, or Laban. I'm not sure how to pronounce it exactly. We'll just call him Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, it's like, ooh, gold. Got some bling on my sister here. And when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand, the reason why I'm here. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. So if he had a business card, it would not have his name on it. It would just say, Abraham's servant. I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. 90 at the time. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. So this great man Abraham, you know, your cousin, has given everything to Isaac. And my master, Abraham, made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go into my father's house, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and shall take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred. If they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. So if you refuse, then I'll just go back home. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink, and she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels, let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. Because that would indicate that she would be a kind woman, a strong woman, healthy, very fit, but compassionate, eager to serve, eager to give, willing to do more than she was asked to do. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, which Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. So he asked him to make that decision right there and then, even before they sat down to eat. Then Laban and Bethuel, so again, Bethuel is Rebekah's father, Laban's her brother. Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. So they said, based on what you've told us, it's obvious to us that this is from God. And we're not in a place to judge. All we can do is say yes. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. So we want to have enough time to properly say goodbye to her. But verse 56, he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. So we can't wait another day. It has to be now. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. So now there's a little bit of drama there. Is she going to say yes? Is she going to say no? And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Isn't that cool? Just within a day, she agreed to leave her home, go with this man, marry someone that she hasn't met before, because she believes that this is God's will. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah. and said unto her, Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And those things did come to pass. And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, camels were coming. The servant had taken 10 camels, and now they had people riding on all of them. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. She got down from the camel, for she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. I think it's interesting that the servant refers to Isaac as his master, as well as Abraham, because the son of his master was also his master. Just like God is Lord of all, Jesus Christ, his son, is Lord of everybody else, right? So they're both called Lord. That's how Jesus Christ is equal with God compared to everybody else. So as far as this servant was concerned, Isaac was equal to Abraham. They were both his master. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done, related the whole story to him once again. And Isaac brought her, Rebekah, into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Isn't that sweet? And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. It doesn't seem that there was a wedding ceremony. It was just an agreement that she was now his wife. They didn't invite the whole family over and all that stuff, but she became his wife. So we can see what kind of woman that Rebekah was, that she's respectful to people, respectful to God, was willing to help a stranger that came to town before she knew who he was and offered him water and also his camels. And when she saw that God was the one that had arranged all this, that she was obedient because she wanted to do the will of God. Okay? That's the kind of woman that she was. Now, let's go to chapter 25. The beginning of the chapter talks about what Abraham did after Sarah died. He took another wife and he had 6 more children. So he had, I guess, 8 altogether, Ishmael, Isaac, and these other 6 from this other wife, and possibly even others, because in verse 5 it says, Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. We know that there was Hagar and this Keturah, but there might have been others as well. Unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son, while he yet lived, eastward unto the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 180 years. That's 175. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre. Now, we know that Abraham died at 175. Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, and he was 60 years old. Isaac was 60 years old when Esau and Jacob were born. So this is not necessarily in chronological order here to the things that happened, I don't believe, because when it comes to Isaac having children, Abraham was still alive when Isaac's children were born, and they would have been about 15 years old. Esau and Jacob would have been 15 years old when Abraham died. Okay? Now, let's go down to verse 20. It says, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. That makes Abraham 140, right? So Isaac was 40 when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. So it would have been like 19 years had passed and they had no children. Then Isaac entreats the Lord. That means he prays to him, making a special request on behalf of his wife so that she could conceive and have children. Okay? And then it says the Lord was entreated of him, meaning he accepted that prayer and he answered that prayer. And this is the first place in the Bible where the word entreated is used, but it's like an intercessory prayer, making intercession for somebody or making a specific request, a supplication. So she conceived, and in verse 22, it says, and the children struggled together within her. Now this struggling together, the Hebrew word means to crush, oppress. Like this is a violent struggling inside of her. Not just a little wiggling around, but it's like they were fighting together. They struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? It's like, what is going on inside me here? And she went to inquire of the Lord. You see that? Rebekah was one who spoke to God, and we're going to see that God answers her and speaks to her. So she has the Spirit of God upon her for God to be able to communicate with her directly. She didn't just go to her husband and say, would you pray for me and find out what's going on? She went directly to God to inquire of the Lord, and God answered her in words. Verse 23, the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Very specific information. And this is something that she would remember the rest of her life, I'm sure, hearing from God like this concerning the future of the two sons that are inside of her, that at that point were fighting together. So there would be two separate nations. That means they'd be twins, but different from each other. They would not be identical twins. And each one would produce their own nation of people. And there would be conflict between the two. And it says the elder shall serve the younger. She doesn't know at this point which one the elder will be, but we'll find out soon. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau, which means hairy. And he had red hair, and his skin was covered with red hair, like a hairy garment. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. So Esau was the firstborn, but only by minutes, if that, because Jacob was holding on to his brother's heel as he came out. And his name was called Jacob, which means heel holder or supplanter. So he was a heel grabber, and that's what his name means. Jacob means heel grabber. And Isaac was 60 years old when she bare them. That's how he knew. It was after 19 years, he entreated the Lord. The Lord was entreated. She conceived. The next year, he would have been the 20th year since they were married. And Isaac is now 60 years old when she gives birth to the twins. Now, I believe they had other children after that, but they're not mentioned by name. Verse 27 says, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter. He became a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man, just an ordinary guy, dwelling in tents. So when Esau would go out hunting, his brother Jacob had no desire to go with him. He just stayed home. And of course, they lived in tents all their lives. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. They both had their favorites. So Isaac favored Esau and Rebekah favored Jacob. And you think, well, they should love both their sons equally. But it's a very common thing for one parent to take more of a liking to one than the other. And Rebecca says she loved Jacob. So did God. If you look at Malachi chapter 1, Malachi chapter 1, and this is the last book of the Old Testament, verse 1 says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." Verse 2, "I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness." Okay. Where is Edom? And Edom is another name for Esau. It means red. "Where is Edom, saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever." So God also favored Jacob over Esau. Now, let's go back to Genesis. And we're in chapter 25, and we'll pick it up in verse 29. And it says, "And Jacob sawed pottage." That means he was boiling something in a pot. "And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom." So what Jacob was boiling in the pot was lentil beans, okay, which are red. And Esau, who had red hair and red hair all over his body, asked for some of that red pottage. And it says, therefore, because of this, was his name called Edom. So it wasn't just because he looked reddish, but because of this incident with the red lentil beans. "And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright." Sell it to me. Say, you're the firstborn by minutes. You want some of this lentil beans? Sell me your birthright. And Esau could have said, forget that. I'm going to go ask mom for something to eat. But he didn't. Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? He really thought he was going to die within minutes, and that the only way for him to live would be to have some of that red lentil bean pottage. So he says, what profit shall this birthright do to me if I'm going to die any minute? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Now the word swear is interesting. I want to show you the Strong's definition. Shabbat. Very similar to the word Shabbat for Sabbath, the seventh day. It says it's a primitive root, properly to be complete, but used only as a denominative from this other word that means seven, okay? So it's derived from a word that means seven. And it means to seven oneself. That is to swear as if by repeating a declaration seven times. See that? So when he said, swear to me, it's like, you think about this, because if you're going to agree to this, this will be a binding agreement. And when you swear, you do it before God. Okay? God is going to be a witness of this transaction here. So if you want this bowl of lentil beans, you're going to give me your birthright. You swear to me before God as if you're declaring it seven times. And he agreed to this. He sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. The transaction is now complete, and God is witness of this transaction. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. So he gave him what he paid for with his birthright, and he threw in some bread for free besides. And he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. To him, at that moment, his birthright meant less to him than a bowl of beans. He despised, he thought little of his birthright. It mentions this incident in Hebrews chapter 12. And I've heard people say that this Jacob was such a lousy guy that he took advantage of his brother and swindled him out of his birthright. But look what God has to say about it. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. So does God fault Jacob in this transaction? No, he calls Esau a profane person, means a common person, like a Gentile, who for one morsel of meat, for one bowl of food, sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, or he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Okay? So this was a transaction that God witnessed, and it was a transaction that God honored. Now, back to Genesis. I'm going to pick this up in chapter 27. Genesis 27, verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim so that he could not see. We don't know how old he was here, but we know he lived to be 180 years old, and he lived more than 20 years after this. So I'm not sure exactly how old that he was yet, but he had gone blind. He couldn't see. And he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold now, I am old. I know not the day of my death. Could be for a long time. Could be next week. Who knows? Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother, he's a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. So he protested. He didn't want to do this. It wasn't his idea, and he didn't want to do it. But his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. So she told him twice, You obey me in what I'm telling you to do. And we know Rebekah was not an evil, conniving woman, okay? She's the same woman that Abraham's servant met, and the same one who inquired of God, and God spoke to her when the twins were inside her struggling. But she was insistent that he do this. So Jacob obeyed. Verse 14, he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with him in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck, because Esau must have been so hairy that his skin felt like the skin of a young goat. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am is in italics. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. That last phrase sounds very much like the blessing God gave to Abraham, right? And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I'm thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I've eaten all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed. You see that last phrase there? That indicates that the blessing was from God, and those words were going to stand. Even though he thought he was blessing Esau, now he realized that he had just blessed Jacob, and that the blessing was from God. Because remember what it said in Hebrews 11:20, that it was by faith that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So it wasn't just his own words, and it wasn't just by deception, because God knew who it was. God knew that it was Jacob, right? And God gave him the words to say. That's why he said, Yea, and he shall be blessed. He wasn't going to take it back. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he, this is Esau, said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. No, Esau sold his birthright to him. He agreed to that. Jacob asked for it in exchange for the lentil bean pottage there, but Esau sold it to him. And now he hath taken away my blessing. And that was really in obedience to his mother that he did that. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, including you. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. That was the blessing that God gave to Isaac to give to Esau. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. So that's what was in Esau's heart. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Again, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. That few days is going to become 20 years, by the way. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I deprive also of you both in one day? So if my husband dies and then you're killed in the same day, I wouldn't be able to stand it. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? The daughters of Heth, Esau had married some girls that were local girls of the Canaanites, the daughters of Heth, and Rebekah couldn't stand them. And she told Isaac, and the next chapter, verse 1, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, any of the locals here. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother, one of your cousins. And God Almighty bless thee. And this is Isaac knowing that he's blessing Jacob at this point, okay? God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. So this shows that it was of God that Jacob was blessed with the blessing of Abraham. Now, if you still want to judge Jacob for what he did, that's up to you. Personally, myself, I withhold the judgment. And I look to see, well, how does God judge? What does God say about Esau? What does God say about Jacob? And just let that stand. Okay? So I know it's kind of a controversial thing. There are those that might not agree with me, and that's okay. I'm not saying that if anybody disagrees with me that they're wrong. It's just that I will not judge Jacob to be an evil person, because I don't see God doing that. Okay? So next week, we'll continue on to see some other examples of diligently seeking God. We know that Isaac sought God's will in his blessing of his sons. And when he saw that he was deceived, that it was Jacob and not Esau, he didn't get angry at Jacob. He didn't reprove him. He didn't curse him. He blessed him again, knowingly, and sent him away. So next time, we'll read more about Jacob and some of the other cool things that happened afterwards. Okay?